This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to Serenity, and I'm Yasmeen Mujahid. Thank you for being patient. We were having a little bit of technical difficulties, but alhamdulillah, inshallah, good things come to those who wait. And inshallah, today we're going to be discussing, tackling inshallah, a topic which we all inevitably will face at some point in our life. And it's the concept of pain. It's the concept of what is, you know, the purpose of pain. Does pain have a purpose? And if so, what is the purpose? And also about coping with pain. And I think that once we understand, and I think that so much of how we cope with the things in our lives, so much of it has to do with perspective and understanding the purpose behind why certain things might happen, or why we encounter certain things in our life. And in talking about the concept of pain, I think it's important to note that we have to unlearn a lot of what we are taught in society. Basically, society teaches you that you're never supposed to feel any amount of pain. In fact, society teaches you that you're supposed to constantly be in a heightened state of bliss. And the reason for this is it comes from a very God is taken out of the picture. The hereafter is taken out of the picture. It's a very world dunya centered paradigm. And what that means is that if you believe that this life is all you have, if you believe that this is the only chance you're going to get to experience happiness, to get the things that you want, to reach success, then you're going to want to maximize pleasure or happiness in quotation marks, because the definition of happiness, of course, becomes limited to worldly or physical happiness or material happiness. But the idea is, and the whole problem, this problematic concept, it comes from the mistake in that you believe that this is all we have. And so because that is the root of this concept, as a result, the message is that you should never have to feel any amount of pain and any amount of anything less than ultimate bliss and happiness. And if you do, you need to sedate yourself. You need to distract yourself. You need to take a pill. You need to sort of just treat it. Treat, and this is where it's very important. You need to treat the symptoms. If someone comes in someone comes to a doctor and tells them, I've been kind of down about this or that I'm dealing with. And again, this isn't to say that there is no such thing as clinical depression. There's definitely, situations where, pain can become completely paralyzing. And obviously there are clinical cases, but just the whole idea of that you're never supposed to be sad, or anything less than happy all the time. And that you're never supposed to feel any pain. And if you do take a painkiller, if you do take an antidepressant, the idea here is that pain is not part of the norm, and it never should be the case. And the reason why this is problematic is that everything that we have, every emotion that we're given, is given to us with a particular purpose. Now, of course, the problem comes when it goes to one extreme or another. For example, the emotion of anger is not without a purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this emotion for a particular purpose, and it's intended for a positive purpose. So, for example, this emotion might prevent you from being abused or taken advantage of, or it will motivate you to get out of situations perhaps, or try to change situations which are unjust. And so in that sense, that anger can be a motivator for good. But at the same time, if that anger is out of proportion, or rather the anger controls me instead of me controlling the anger, then that's when you have a problem. And it's the same thing with sadness. It's the same thing with pain. So the pain itself, and I'll use a physical example. if I am, you know, standing, say I'm standing close to a flame of some sort, you know, I'm by the stove or something, and I turn around and maybe like part of my elbow or something, it kind of touches the flame or gets close to the heat. What is it that makes me, and I'm not looking, I'm not aware of it because I've turned my back. What is the thing that makes me remove my arm is the pain. Is the fact that fire creates pain on my skin, and my pain receptors tell me to move my arm. And so in this sense, the pain is a protective measure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me to tell me there's a problem, you need to make a change. And it's exactly the same thing with emotional pain and with psychological pain. That yes, if I am feeling pain, rather than just trying to numb it, I need to figure out what it's telling me. I need to figure out what is it that I need to be changing, because the pain is there for a reason. The sadness or the, you know, that sting that I feel is there to show me. It's an indicator to something that's wrong. It's an indicator to a change that I need to make. And, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, for example, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never changes the condition of a people until they first change the condition of what is inside themselves, until they change what is inside themselves. And so if there's something painful about my condition, there's something painful about the state that I'm in, it is a motivator to make me change internally. It's an indicator that there's a problem, that there's something missing, or there's some change that I need to make. In the same way that the pain of the fire is what makes me remove my arm. And you think about situations where that pain isn't there. For example, sometimes with diabetics, because of the diabetes, it numbs, you know, like, for example, a lot of times in their feet, that they won't feel, you know, if they get hurt, they won't be able to feel it. And actually what happens as a result, what can happen as a result of this numbness is that the limb itself or wherever the injury happens can become so infected that it actually has to be amputated. And so the idea here is that because they don't have those receptors, they've numbed it so much, they don't realize there's a problem that needs to be treated. And it's exactly the same thing in our spiritual life. It's exactly the same thing at an emotional level. If we, for example, our natural inclination is to want to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every human being has the natural fitrah. The natural fitrah of the human being is to recognize, tawheed. It's to recognize and want to be close to one God, to the one God. And this is the God of all, you know, all humanity. And the idea here is that this is already in our nature. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, for example, that before we came into this, you know, this form of existence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a covenant with us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ, am I not your Lord? And all of humanity, not just Muslims, but all of humanity responded and said, Bala shahidna, that indeed, and we bear witness to this. So we have within us this covenant that we've made with God, that we realize that He is our Lord. And so this is our natural fitrah, this is our human nature that is already in us. What happens is, when we move away from that nature, when we move away from God, it creates a pain because we're moving away from our own nature. It creates a sense of pain and emptiness and sadness. And so we can respond to this pain in one of two ways. One is we can look at it and say, why is this happening? Why am I feeling empty? And try to search for answers and try to make the pain should be, you know, directing us towards the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the other option, which is what most people end up doing, is you try to treat the pain rather than treat the cause. You try to numb the pain. You try to distract yourself. So that's why we jump from, you know, from one thing to another, trying to fill this hole, trying to, you know, just make me not have to feel anything. Even if I don't have to feel anything, it's better than having to feel this emptiness and this hole, and therefore have to figure out how do I treat it. And so what we do is we go through our lives running after one thing after another, whether it's, you know, we throw ourselves into things and we seek, you know, we seek things in this dunya. We seek other people. We seek, you know, our jobs, our careers, music, alcohol, drugs. All these things are just trying to do one thing, and that is fill this empty hole. And that hole that's there is there because we've moved away from our spiritual roots, which is our nature, to be close to our Creator. And as a result of that, it's like we numb the pain. And so what happens when we numb the pain is that emptiness eats at us more and more. And it's kind of, it's like that infection. It just grows and grows and grows until, you know, the heart itself can become, you know, so sick that eventually it becomes just dead. And so we talk now about, hearts which are dead. These are the hearts that they don't, you know, they're so, you know, they've been so alienated from their own nature of being of near their Creator that they don't even notice it anymore. It's just you kind of become like it's a person who's walking around, and it seems like they're alive, but actually they're dead, and that's because the heart is dead, and because it doesn't have that which gives a heart life, and that is nearness to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. And I just want to, inshallah, before the break, give you this example, which, subhanAllah, it came right, you know, right at the right time. It was just yesterday. I was having a halakha, and one of the sisters, she shared this. Actually, this is a true story. She sent me the news article. She said that there was a guy, and he came to the dentist because he was having pain in his tooth. And he went to the dentist, and the dentist told him, you have an infection, and so you need antibiotics and painkiller, you know, painkiller to, you know, help you deal with the pain, but antibiotics to actually cure the original problem, the root cause. Well, the guy did not have enough money to buy both, and so he had to choose. He had to choose either the antibiotic or the painkiller, and he chose the painkiller. So he chose, okay, I just don't want to deal with this pain. I'm going to choose that over actually curing the actual sickness. And the man actually ended up dying as a result of the infection. And this is a true story. So subhanAllah, I felt like this was, you know, this is so, it's a deep story. Because really, you know, at a spiritual level, this is what a lot of us do. And inshallah, we'll take a quick break now. And when we return, we'll continue talking about pain and its purpose. Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmeen Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. We're speaking today about the topic and the concept of pain, and you know, is pain something that's has a purpose, or is pain just something that we, you know, it's these stumbling blocks that we have to sort of just get out of the way in order to enjoy our life and, you know, get on with our life. And I really want to emphasize, and what we've been talking about this, you know, thus far, is that we really have to do a lot of unlearning of the concepts that we have grown up with in this society, and basically just humanity, you know, has this concept, and is that because this, you know, a lot of, you know, the paradigm of this being our only life, it leads to the idea that we should never have to encounter pain. And it really comes from, this concept of this life having to be a paradise. If you think and you reflect on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who says that that this life is a paradise for the disbeliever and is a prison for the believer. And subhanAllah, this hadith is so profound. And I think a lot of times we might misunderstand or limit, you know, the meaning of the hadith as being, you know, we think like when we're kids, you know, our parents tell us everything is haram, 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 right? And so we think, we grow up with this concept that, okay, if we're going to be Muslim, then everything is haram and, you know, the non-Muslims get to have all the fun, but, you know, we're just going to deal with this and then we get our fun in the hereafter. And I think that's kind of the concept that we get, you know, and maybe this is even the way that some people interpret this hadith. But subhanAllah, I think that the meaning of this hadith is like really so much deeper. And it's really that, first of all, the idea that, you know, as a believer, that means that your life is going to be harder than disbelievers, or that, you know, you just can't have all the fun and everyone else can, is completely wrong. The true, and this is what we know from both experience, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this, the true happiness, the true enjoyment, the true, really like contentment of the heart, internal happiness, can only come if you're a believer, and can only come through that relationship with our Creator, that the physical, external type of pleasure or happiness isn't the real thing. That you can have all of this so-called fun and all this, you know, all these things, but internally you still feel that emptiness, and internally you still don't feel happy. And I mean, there's nobody can claim that, you know, having money and status and lots of, you know, being able to do whatever you want, and that isn't what buys happiness. Happiness is something at an internal level that, you know, can only come, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this, can come through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nearness to God. And so it's actually very opposite, where, you know, the idea is completely wrong that they get to have all the, you know, all the happiness and we just have to suffer. It's really the other way around, that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, in the Quran, that whoever turns away from the remembrance of God, that for that person is a life that's narrowed down, a life that's sort of it's sometimes translated ma'ishatan dunka, is what the ayah says, man arada an dhikri fa inna lahu ma'ishatan dunka, that whoever turns away from my remembrance, for them is a life that's narrow or miserable. So it's actually, you know, the true happiness is through and only through the nearness and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that isn't, you know, the message that that we're getting from the hadith, but rather, when you look at what you're comparing it to. So if for me, if I compare this life to Jannah, for sure this life looks like a prison, right? Because there is no comparison between, you know, this life where obviously I have to live and I have to die. I'll laugh sometimes. I'll cry sometimes. I'm going to feel pain. I'm going to bleed. This is a part of life that nobody can ever claim that they can avoid. And if I compare that to a life where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, first of all, never ends, there's no death. Second of all, لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون, that there is no fear on them and nor is there any sadness, no sorrow. Can anyone claim that they ever, no matter what amount of status you have, no matter what amount of fame you have, no matter what amount of money you have, you can never claim that you can escape these two things, fear and sadness, that you will never have to feel fear and you will never have to feel sadness? You can't do that in this life. And so when you compare this life to the hereafter, that's when this life, in comparison to the hereafter and in comparison to Jannah, becomes a prison. And beyond that, if you think about what does a prisoner feel like? Well, a prisoner is someone who has to be in a certain place for an appointed term, but they'd rather be home, right? A prisoner is basically waiting for their term to finish, and, you know, they're doing their time. But the prisoner's attachment is to going home. The prisoner is always kind of waiting to be released in order to go to a better place. So for a prisoner, they're in a place that they need to be for an appointed time, but they know very well that there's a better place. They know that there's a place they would rather be than where they are now, but they are where they are for an appointed time. And so this is the mindset of a believer in this life, where we are in this life and we live this life. And, you know, nobody says that you should be miserable, but rather it's the other way around, that the true contentment comes from that attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. And there's, you know, the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah, who talks about the paradise, his paradise being in his heart, and that you can find a paradise in this life even before the next. And one of the other statements which I love is that he who does not enter the paradise of this life will not enter the paradise of the next life. And when you reflect on this statement, you'll understand that those people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those are the people who enter the paradise of this life. That is the paradise of this life. It isn't, you know, hanging out at the bars or the clubs or whatever it is that people try to do to, you know, find happiness or to find pleasure. That's not the paradise. But in fact, you know, that's the true prison, because you're imprisoned, you're distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so looking at this hadith, you know, the believer, again, although there is a paradise of this life, which is only in the nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they still know that there's a better place, a place where, you know, they can actually be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala physically, and we can actually see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have no sickness, no sadness, no fear. And so the comparison here is between, this life and a better life. But if you look on the other hand at the one who believes that this life is all you have, and so when you think that this life is all you have, it better be a paradise, right? And when you think about a person who is in what they believe is a paradise, that person would never want to leave. That person would cling to that place. And this is exactly how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the disbelieving soul. That when that soul is taken out of the body at the time of death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it as an-nazi'at, that soul has to be torn out of the body because it thought it was the best, it was already in the best it gets. You know, if you think this is it, and you think, okay, this is the best it's ever going to get, I better make the most of it. So then you don't want to leave because you thought you were in paradise. You know, it's like the happiest place on earth, right? Disneyland. It's not really the happiest place on earth at all. If you sit and reflect on, when you sit and you watch the kids at Disneyland, a lot of them are always screaming, and I feel like it's like so overstimulated that, anyway, but the idea is it's supposed to be the happiest place on earth. And when you're there, you're never going to want to leave, right? If you're already in the happiest place on earth, wherever that really is, you're never going to want to leave. And so that's the concept of the disbelieving soul leaving this life. It doesn't want to leave. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when nazi'ati ghurqa, it's talking about the angels that rip those souls out of the body because they don't want to leave. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believing soul, when nashitati nashta, that those souls, when they are taken from the body, they just flow out. And the reason is, if you go back to the analogy of the prison, which was the analogy of the Prophet ﷺ, what happens when you're an inmate and you're in prison, and then your day comes where your term is over, and they come and they're opening up the cell? How many people are going to say, no, actually, I want to stay here. Actually, I'm going to hold on to these prison bars and I'm not going to let go because I kind of like it here. You know, nobody's going to say that because they know that outside of that prison is a much better home. That outside of that prison is the real life. And so that's really the beautiful analogy that the Prophet ﷺ gives in this hadith. where he says that the believer in this life, it's like a prison, and for the disbeliever, it's like a paradise. And so, you know, again, understanding this and really realizing how we have to unlearn these concepts that, you know, pain, sadness, happiness, laughter, tears, all of these things are given to us for a purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do anything without a purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know, high above doing anything without a purpose. I can, you know, do very random things with no purpose, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't do that. Allah is high above that. So everything He gives us is with a very particular purpose. And that includes our pain, that includes sadness. And so the question then is, how do we cope when we are encountered, when we do encounter pain, we do encounter hardship, you know, loss, that first and foremost, we have to understand that this does not mean that, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with us. This is also a concept we have to unlearn, that the idea that trial or test or hardship only comes as a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that were the case, then that would mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a'udhu billah, was punishing His own prophets. Because if you look at the lives of the prophets, they were the ones who were tested most. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests people based on their level of faith, based on their level of iman, and that the people who are tested most are the prophets, and then after them, those who are, you know, next to them in you know, after them in iman. And so the concept of tests being a punishment needs to completely be unlearned. And when we do that, I think we can encounter it in a better way. That as long as any kind of hardship, any kind of pain, any kind of test that we encounter, if it brings us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is actually a blessing for us. It's actually a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because ultimately what matters in the end is whether or not we are getting closer to our ultimate purpose or we're getting farther from our ultimate purpose. Anything that will bring me closer to my purpose is good for me. And so even if that means a loss in the material sense, it's still good for me. And the other way around is also true, that anything that brings me farther away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brings me farther away from my ultimate purpose, no matter what kind of increase in worldly increase it is, it's actually bad for me. It's actually, you know, it's not a blessing. In fact, it's the opposite. And so we have to start to reorient the way we see, you know, success and failure and hardship and good and bad. We have to recalibrate, you know, this, our whole definition, you know, of these things and of these concepts. And part of doing that, what that will do is it will make it much easier to encounter hardship. And instead of seeing it as either a punishment or a sign that Allah is displeased with us, we can actually start to see it as a blessing, that if this hardship that I'm encountering is bringing me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it's purifying me, if it's making me a better person, it's building my character, then it's a blessing. And when we do that, we can start to really, you know, have the pain or have the hardship or have the, you know, whatever test that we're going through, have it do its purpose, because it is sent for a purpose. And part of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, is لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجَعُونَ. Allah says that He sends, you know, hardship and tests and calamity and these types of things to the nations in order that they will come back to us, in order that we come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the reason He sends it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about other reasons why He sends pain or sends hardship or tests. And one of the other reasons is to do the process, a process called tamhis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيُمَحُصَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, that this process called tamhis means to purify, to purge. And it's actually the same word that's used to describe what happens to gold in order to purify it. We know that in order to purify gold, we have to heat it up, right? And what happens when you heat up gold is that it removes the impurities from the gold. And it's the same thing with us. Our hearts, our insides are full of impurities, all of us. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, out of His mercy and love for us, He wants to purify us. And so one of the ways that we are purified is through these types of hardships. And this is something all sit back and reflect on in our own lives, of how sometimes the hardest times in our lives were the times when we actually felt closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَقُولِ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرَ لَلِي وَلَكُمْ إِنَّا غَفُونُ الرَّحِيمُ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُ بَحَمْدَكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.